I'd like to invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Going to end, start in verse 16 for the end of chapter 4 and then heading to chapter 5. Like we saw in our Romans study this summer, there's oftentimes this passage, like it did in Romans, talks about our identity in Christ, who we are, and oftentimes, I think, for me, maybe for you as well, it's hard to make our practice equal to our position. So in this passage is packed with who we are in Christ, and as we head to our confessional today, would like to ask a couple questions, but really want to just read the passage and let the Word of God do surgery on our hearts. So pray that your own heart would be moved and convicted by the Word of God here. Verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Have you lost heart this week? I read this and was so excited about this morning and a couple hours ago, lost heart. And what a great way to start. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For our light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal way to glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Are your eyes on the seen or the unseen, the transient or the eternal? For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. What a great phrase. We are soon to be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Is that amazing that God himself lives inside of us as a guarantee of our future inheritance? So we are always of good courage. Let me ask you, verse 6 says the same thing. Have you been of good courage? We know that while we're at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That brings up another question, doesn't it? Are we living by faith or by sight? Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is done in the body, whether good or bad. Therefore, and here we see some connecting words, verse 11, 17, 20, therefore. He's got a pattern of thought here, some logic. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. We persuade others. Are we persuading others with the gospel? But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. NIV says compels us. I think the love of God controls and compels us. Is that true in your life? And he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Are we living for ourselves? Are we living for our Lord Jesus, who bought us for that very, very purpose? From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I would be amiss if we did not ask that question. Have you been reconciled? We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And here is the gospel. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Before he even leads us in a song, thinking through our time of confession, let me let you go before the Lord and confess sins that may have been brought up in this chapter, and I'll close this. Let me give you a minute. Gracious Father, I know in my own heart, and I imagine in each one of us, I have lost heart this week. I have thought in a temporary way about the transient rather than the eternal. I have become too content in this tent rather than longing for an eternal dwelling and fixing our eyes and hearts on that. Father, we have not always been of good courage. We have walked by sight rather than by faith. Father, we haven't always persuaded others very well, and in fact, we may have persuaded others in the wrong way at times. And Lord, we would ask that your love would control us so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for the one who bought us at that huge price. We thank you, Father. That you have given us this ministry of reconciliation. Lord, forgive us when we have not been sound ambassadors of the gospel and have misrepresented you in some way. But Lord, we are so grateful today for verse 21 that reminds us that you made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in Christ we may become your righteousness. What a great joy it is, what a thrill it is to have a right standing with you, even though our hearts are still deceitful in so many ways. So thank you, Father, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because of that great price that was paid. As we sing now, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be flooded with the joy of the gospel. That great exchange happened as we traded in our sin, and Christ took that, and the wages of that was his death, but has given us life, abundant and eternal. We're so grateful, and I ask that our hearts would once again be flooded by your word and the gospel, and we're so grateful for the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, guaranteeing what's to come. You, Scott, in a minute to preach your word, that our hearts would be softened and submissive to your word, and we would once again be able to fix our eyes in a greater way on the Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name.